To Genesis chapter 2. Genesis, the second chapter, is where we're going to begin. Genesis, the second chapter. Praise God. How many of you love the Word of God today? Amen. Genesis chapter 2 is where we're going to begin. I'm going to read to you verses 8 through 15 of Genesis chapter 2. Are you ready? All right. Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. You're going to like this, so just stir yourself up by faith. Amen. It says, beginning with verse 8, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Now a river. Everybody say a river. A river. Now, a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. Say, four river heads. All right, we're going to come back to that passage in a minute. Now, notice now, verse 11 and on. "The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Delium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. And it is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel." Most believe that that is Tigris, the river Tigris today. "It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the river Euphrates," which all of us are aware of and know that that still exists, and people know where it is today. It goes by the same name. Verse 15, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it." This morning, as I shared with you, yesterday I was praying, spending time with God, and I really felt impressed the Lord to share with you along the lines, and the title that the message this morning is this: "Let the rivers flow." Everybody say, "Let the rivers flow." Now, we sing a song, "Let the river flow," but we're going to talk about letting the rivers in the plural flow, and I think that you're going to see some good things from this. You'll notice that in this passage of Scripture, there was one river. Notice what it says in verse 10 once again. A river went out of Eden to water the garden that God had planted. Everybody say, God planted a garden. All right? And out of that garden that God had planted, there was a river. And out of that river, it broke into four rivers and went into different parts of the world of that day. Is that not right? And so four river heads, or four rivers that came out of the river that was in the garden and watered the garden of God. In Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 13, you don't have to turn there, but it refers to Lucifer, really. Most expositors agree. And one of the things that's said about him, that he had been in Eden, the garden of God. And so again, it is called the Garden of Eden. Eden means pleasure, by the way. It was a place of great joy and a place of great pleasure. It is also called, as mentioned in Ezekiel, the Garden of God. The Garden of God. Now I want to ask you a question. Well, first of all, let's define what a garden is, just so we get a better idea about a garden. Let me give you some definitions of a garden. A garden, according to the Word Study Old Testament, means this. It's an enclosure of trees, fruits, and or vegetables. Something that is enclosed in for the growing of trees, fruits, and or vegetables. It also, now I want you to get this. This is part of the definition of what a garden is. It is a place where conditions for life are maximized. A place where conditions for life are maximized. I want you to hold on to that thought in a couple of minutes here. Also, from Webster's Dictionary, a garden is defined as a rich, well-cultivated spot or tract of country. It is a delightful spot. And so it is a rich definition of a garden. A rich, well-cultivated spot or tract of country. A delightful spot. It is a place, again, where life or the conditions for life are maximized. All right? Now, as we carry this over into the New Testament, into the New Covenant, I want you to go over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hold your place in Genesis, because we're going to be coming back to Genesis chapter 2. But go over here, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 6. Are you with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 6. Notice Paul is speaking here, and he says this. In verse 6, beginning with verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters." This is verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "Neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." Now notice now, verse 9. "For we are God's fellow workers, You are God's field. You are God's building. I want to read verse 9 from the Amplified Bible. It reads this way. It says, "For we are fellow workers, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God." Then he turns to the Corinthians and he says to them, "You are God's garden and vineyard and field under cultivation. You are God's building." And so here we see, as we look this over and we see this from New Covenant truth or spiritual truth, we see the garden of God in what we call the Garden of Eden, the garden of God referred to as the Garden of Eden. We see that from the garden of God, there was a river that watered it. And out of that river that watered the garden of God in the book of Genesis, there flowed four other rivers in order to water, in order to feed the land and the world of that time, wherever they would go. Is that now right? And then in the New Testament, the Bible says, as we apply this in a spiritual way, we as believers are called the garden of God. Say, "I'm the garden of God." It also says that we are God's building, which is a reference to God's temple. We may talk about that a little bit as well. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 6, that you are the temple of the living God. Amen? And so we are compared to or referred to as God's garden. We are referred to as God's building or God's temple. And we're going to talk about this for a few minutes. Now, having said all of that, if you would, let's go back here to Genesis chapter 2. In fact, before we do, go to John chapter 7. Say, "I'm God's garden." Amen. You're God's garden. There's no more Garden of Eden as far as anybody's aware of. Somebody said it's under the Mediterranean Sea somewhere now. As far as the location is, we don't know. God knows. But the fact is, God doesn't care about that garden anymore. Isn't that right? What God cares about is you and I who are called the garden of God today. Now in John chapter 7, notice what it says as we begin reading here at verse 37. Jesus begins to speak. It says this, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said.'" Now, notice now he's referring to believers. Are you a believer? Yes. And so he says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart," if you have the King James, it says, "out of his belly will flow rivers," everybody say rivers, "rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Now notice now, Jesus says this, and again the reference to rivers in the plural, he said that those who believe on him, out of their heart, out of their belly, or out of their innermost being will what? Flow rivers of living water, right? And so they're supposed to be out of us, God's garden, just as we read in Genesis chapter 2. Out of us, God's garden, how many of you know there is a fountain of life within us? John 4 talks about that. There's a fountain called the fountain of life. It'll well up as a well of living water. And from that river, or living water fountain, if you will flow rivers of living water. Out of God's garden, there's still rivers that flow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? At least they're supposed to be. And you and I are the garden of God. Amen? Now, as we look at some of this, I think that you're going to be encouraged to know some things and see the things that you have available to you that are going to be a blessing to people. Now, one thing I want to show you is this. The word heart, the word belly there in John chapter 7, that word's a very interesting word. That word is the same word, if you look that word up in the Greek, it's the same word that many times, in fact, more times than the word heart, more times than the word belly, it is translated as the word womb, as in a woman's womb. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so it could have been translated, "He that believeth on me, out of his womb shall flow rivers of living water." And this he spake of concerning the Holy Spirit, which was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But he's saying out of the womb of the believer. Now, we understand that we males do not have wombs. Isn't that right? And so we also must understand he's talking about a spiritual womb that is to give birth. That is to be, as a womb would be defined, a womb is a place where life is conceived and from where life comes forth from. Isn't that right? And so out of our womb, if you will, out of that recreated spirit, if you will, out of that born again part of us, that new man, out of the womb of our spirit will flow rivers of living water, and from that will bring life to those it touches. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you getting anything out of this? Say, I'm the garden of God, and out of me flows rivers. Now, go back, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And let's look at this again. It says in verse 10, it says, now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. We're going to talk real briefly about these four rivers that came out of the river that was in the, or fed the garden of God, if you will. And let's see what spiritual application there is to the meaning of these four words. Is that all right? Now, the first river head or river that came out of that river that was feeding that garden, which is you and I, that first river was Pishon. Now, that word literally means, I'm going to give you more than just one definition, just a few things. It literally means the word Pishon, P-I-S-H-O-N. In the Hebrew, it means a great diffusion of waters. A great diffusion of waters. It means to disperse. It means to multiply, and it means to increase. Everybody say increase. And so, from that idea, we're talking about a river of increase, aren't we? And so, out of the garden of God, who's the garden of God? Out of the garden of God, there should be flowing a river of increase out of us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How many of you know God is the God of increase? And we already saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but what? God gave the increase. Isn't that right? He's a God of increase. And so, the first river, if you will, that is to flow out of the garden of God, as we see here from Genesis, and comparing it and giving it a spiritual application, is the river of increase. God is not a God of decrease. He's a God of increase in every area of our lives. Now, I'm just going to give you a few of these things because we're going to move on from here. We need to understand that, first of all, God has abounded within us. He's abounded into us with forgiveness of sin. He has abounded toward us with grace, hasn't he? And that whole idea of abounded has the idea of increase. He has blessed us that we might what? Be a blessing, right? All right, now there's other areas. In Colossians 1, 9 and 10, it talks about, as Paul prays there in that prayer, he said and prayed that they would be filled and that they would increase in the knowledge of God. How many of you know that we need to be increasing in the knowledge of God? And the more we increase in the knowledge of God, the more there's going to be a river of increase, and it's going to flow out of us, anointed by the Spirit of God, to the people that we minister to. Isn't that right? And so there's a river of increase in us. We need to feed it by increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in our spiritual growth goes along with that. Increasing. Another passage is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, where it talks about we're to increase in pleasing God, in holiness. And that means separation unto God and commitment and dedication to Him. Increase. Everybody say river of increase. We know we're supposed to increase in our love walk, the Scripture says. 1 Thessalonians 3, 11 and 12, we're to abound in it. The Bible talks about increasing in our faith. Increasing in our faith. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 15. How many of you believe we ought to increase in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit? Amen? And again, this spoke of in John chapter 7, out of their womb, the womb of those who believe, shall flow rivers of living water. And the meaning of that is that of the Holy Spirit's work. And so the gifts of the Holy Spirit flowing out to bring increase. Amen? See, when we allow the genuine gifts of the Spirit to flow, whether it's prophetic, whether it's tongues, interpretation, whether it's gift of faith, whether whatever, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, etc., all the 12 that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when we allow them to flow, the genuine to flow, that should always bring increase to those that receive that gift. Isn't that right? That should always build. It should never tear down. It should always increase their fervor for God. It should always increase their passion. It should always increase their hunger for the Word. Isn't that right? Whenever something is genuinely by the Spirit of God, it's not going to scare people away. Now, some people may get a little bit frightened, but there's going to be a deposit in their lives. They're going to say, even though their mind and in their natural man, they were afraid, there was something that's going to, on the inside of them, if they're truly born again, it's going to draw them. They're going to say, wow, that really touched my heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so anytime the gifts increase, there's going to be an increase in a person's life or people's lives that receive that. And so we're talking about increase because in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he said that we should seek to excel and pursue earnestly the best gifts, right? And so that denotes increasing in that. We're to increase in our worship and our giving of thanks. We're to increase in the receiving and giving of finances. The Scripture talks abundantly about that. We're to increase or expect increase in people coming into the kingdom of God. Amen? And so out of the womb of the believer should flow rivers of living water and a river of increase. In other words, we are the conduit, if you will, or we are that which the Holy Spirit uses in order to minister to people so that the kingdom of God would be increased. Isn't that right? We need to have faith for that and faith in that in our lives. Say, I'm the garden of God. All right, now going back to Genesis, you're still there, I believe. The next river name is this. It goes on in verse 12. It mentions several things about that land that Pishon delivered to. And then in verse 13, the name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. And so the next one is Gihon. Now Gihon, the meaning of that word is bursting forth. Everybody say bursting forth. And so out of the garden of God, there came the river of increase, and there came the river of bursting forth. When I thought about bursting forth, I don't know about you, I thought about power. I mean, when it bursted forth. There was no hesitancy, there was no reservedness, there was no apathy about this river. It was a bursting forth, powerful kind of river. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so out of the garden of God, there should come a bursting forth. There should come a boldness. There should come a courage. And there should come a passion for the things of God. Amen? That's part of that, the rivers of living water that should flow out of you and I as the garden of God. We are the garden of God. Now another one as we read in this is this, verse 14, the name of the third river is Hiddekel. As I said, most everybody agrees that Hiddekel is the Tigris River of today. And that word Hiddekel is an interesting word and adds some other things to the meaning. It means this. It means rapid. Everybody say rapid. And so Hiddekel means rapid. Rapid. It's fast. In other words, you know, again, it kind of relates to this idea of boldness. It kind of relates to this idea of not hesitating or anything else, but letting God use us. You know, one of my favorite words in the Bible is suddenly. Amen. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Isn't that right? And God just wants to do a quick work in the earth today, doesn't He? He wants to do a quick work. He wants to get us out of here, but the work's got to be done first. So out of the garden of God should come a river that's rapid. A river that just is just moving with God. Amen? A rapid river is a moving river. A river of increase. Amen. A river of power and a river of being rapid and fast. And then the Euphrates, as we read on in this, it says in verse 15, well, latter part of verse 14, the name of the third is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is that of Euphrates. And the name Euphrates means fruitfulness. Now, we've dealt with this of late. We've talked about that out of our spirit man, there is the power to bear fruit. Isn't that right? The life of God within us gives us the empowerment to bear fruit. And so with all of these names of these rivers, understanding that in the new covenant, we are the garden of God. We are to minister and we're to believe that there's going to be a river of increase come out of us. There's going to be a river of what's the next one? Help me. River of power, a river of rapid strength and moving with God, and a river of fruitfulness coming out of our lives, being fruitful, bearing the fruit of Almighty God, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which is ultimately and most of anything, most of all, love. Amen? Now, with that, I'm going to close with this passage, but it's going to be a long closing. Go to Ezekiel chapter 47. Now, this is fresh off the burner, praise God. We'll develop this at some point in time, but fresh off the burner, the idea that we're the garden of God and there's rivers of living water that's to come out of us as believers, amen? Now, as Ezekiel 47, again, you know, there is spiritual application for these things, and as we read some of these things in Ezekiel 47, we've got to understand there is no way this is talking about a natural situation. This is a spiritual situation that the prophet is talking about. Are you there in Ezekiel?
Yeah.
Ezekiel's good size. You'll be able to find that pretty good, right? All right, so Ezekiel 47, are you there? All right, notice verse 1. It says, then he brought me, this part of the vision that Ezekiel had, then he brought me back to the door of the temple. Now, I already mentioned to you, you're God's garden. I also said, what? That you are God's building or God's temple, right? That our bodies are the temple of the living God. The scripture says that in several places in the New Testament. And so notice now, then he brought me back to the back of the door of the temple, and there was water flowing. Everybody say, water flowing. There was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. And the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple south of the altar. Now notice now, where does the water flow from in this illustration? The water flows from the temple. In the new covenant, who are the temples of the living God? The church is, right? And so again, whether you're looking at yourself as the garden of God, as that illustration or that analogy, or whether we're looking at ourselves as the temple of the living God, from us, there is to flow water. Now water, as you understand, I'm sure, water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, right? It also can be symbolic of the Word of God and anointed by the Spirit of God. We know that we're washed by the water of the Word. Amen. So there's a lot of things with this. And obviously, we're not talking about literal water. We're talking about the work of God. We're talking about the life of God, aren't we? And all the things involved with that. Now, notice now, from the temple, there was water flowing. Now, notice now, under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. You know, the word altar there is not there by mistake. When we think about the temple and we think about the altar was a place of sacrifice. Now, I want to submit this thought to you, and that's this, that in order for the water to flow past the altar, there's got to be a sacrifice. There's got to be that attitude of sacrifice where we say, it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. A sacrifice that says, for I am dead in Christ. My life is hid with Christ. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's talking about, you know, laying it down, giving it up, letting the flesh die so that the Spirit might live, the Spirit of Christ through us. Amen? And so again, the water, the temple, the altar, verse 2. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out of the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Everybody say ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and the water came up to my knees. Everybody say knees. Everybody say it's getting deeper. The water's getting deeper, isn't it? All right. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and it came up to my waist. It's still getting deeper. You know what? Somebody said this, and I believe there's a lot of truth to it. If you'll go the distance, if you'll go the distance, the water's going to get deeper. And when we talk about the water getting deeper, we're talking about the move of the Spirit of God, aren't we? All right? Going the distance. Now in verse 5, again he measured 1,000, and it was a river. Everybody say river. Talking about rivers, aren't we? We're talking about let the rivers flow. Where did this river come from? It came from the temple. It came from the temple. You are the temple of the living God. Out of your belly, if you're a believer, is supposed to flow rivers of living water, rivers of increase, rivers of power, rivers that are fast and moving with God, rivers that are fruitful and showing forth the fruit of the Spirit. So as again he measured 1,000, it was a river, and I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, the water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Now, the sea that it's being referred to here is the Dead Sea. Everybody say Dead Sea. Now, if you know anything about the Dead Sea, I know a little bit, not a whole lot, but I do know that the Dead Sea has no outlet for water. The Dead Sea receives water, but there's nowhere for that water to go. And so, therefore, it's called the Dead Sea. It is full of minerals. It is full of death. No fish can live in the Dead Sea, as I understand it. It is just a place that is, just a stagnant. Everybody say stagnant. There is no life. It's called the Dead Sea for a reason. Isn't that right? Now, you'll notice now this river, though, is going into the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Now, are you concerned, or do you think God is concerned, rather, about the Dead Sea being dead? I don't think God's concerned about that. But I submit to you that there is a sea of dead people in this world today. There is a dead sea of people who do not know Christ, that are indeed walking dead men and walking dead women. And they are dead in their trespasses and sins, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. And they have no life. But notice now, it says that where the river goes, notice it says this, that when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be, notice now, verse 9, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. Say, wherever the rivers go, it brings life. He that believeth on me, out of his womb, the womb of his Spirit, will flow rivers of life-giving water, of living water that brings life to everyone that it touches, because the Dead Sea of people need the life of God. You've got the goods. You've got what you need. Amen. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there, for they will be healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes. Everything will live wherever the river goes. There'll be a multitude of fish. Jesus said, come unto me and I'll make you a fisher of men. We've got the goods. Because he didn't give us the Holy Spirit, and thus the rivers of living water, so that we might just enjoy our little garden, so that we might just enjoy our worship, because we're the temple of God. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that from ourselves, the garden of God, not that we're the source, but he is the source who lives in us. Amen? But out of us will flow those rivers out to the Dead Sea of people. Are you getting what I'm saying? As it reads on into this, it says in verse 10, it shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Gleim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea. That's the Mediterranean. A Mediterranean sea is a sea full of life. Sea abundant with fish. And it's saying that the fish of that once Dead Sea is going to be like the fish of the Great Sea, exceedingly and many. How many of you know that that sounds like increase to me? River of increase. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Why? Because there's no river flowing. There's stagnancy still there. Along the bank of the river on the side, and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows where? From the sanctuary. The water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. And so my point today is let the rivers flow. Let's allow the Spirit of God to work in all of us in a mighty way. Tom talked about power. Tom talked about the fact that God, as we pray, will give to us exceeding. He'll give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him and open up the eyes of our understanding that we might know what is the hope of His calling. That we might know what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us. Amen? And that we might know what our inheritance is in Christ. But we don't have an inheritance just to splurge upon ourselves. You've been given the Holy Spirit of God, and I say, let the rivers flow. You are the garden of God. Allow God to cultivate you. You're being cultivated today. Did you know that? You know, when I worked on the farm, when I was a boy, you know, I used to drive the tractor and cultivate the corn. And you know what the cultivator did? The cultivator tore out all the weeds between the corn rows. And you had to drive between the rows with the cultivator in the back of the tractor, and you had to, you know, not, you know, get all the weeds out of there, or as many as you could anyway. Amen? Why? So that the corn could take all the nourishment, so that the corn would not be robbed from by those weeds that would steal the moisture and the nutrients from the ground, so that the corn could thrive. Amen? Well, you're being cultivated today. You're being given the Word of God by the anointing of the Spirit of God in order to pull out some weeds in your life, in my life, so that only that which is of God and only that which is good crop can rise up in our lives and we can be fruitful for the Master in these days. Amen? Amen? Amen. One more time. Say, I'm God's garden. And I'm God's sanctuary. And from me flows rivers of living water to those that are dead. In that sea of death, I bring life. I'm a life giver. I give life wherever I go. Because the life of God is living in me. Would you stand with me? And if the worship team would come, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray something said today would just touch the hearts of each and every person, Father God. I pray and believe, Father God, I believe that there are people that walk along the path of every person here every day or once a week or whenever it is, Father God, that there are people out there that we as individuals are to let the river of life flow to, that we're to allow the rivers of living water flow out to by giving an encouraging word, by ministering in whatever capacity, by praying for them, laying hands on them with their permission. Just to reach out to those that are in that sea of death so that we might bring life. Because in the womb of our spirit is living water. We thank you, Father God. I thank you for opening up our eyes, all of us, to what really is within us so that we might minister and be that which you've called us to be. Vessels of living water. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just worship God for a moment, if you don't mind. Hallelujah. Jesus, If you're here today, I believe there's some here today, you've never received one or both experiences of the Holy Spirit. And those two experiences are, first of all, having been born of the Spirit. In other words, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. The Bible says that when you do, that now the Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of you. And you can't even begin to let the river flow. You can't even begin to experience life until you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Jesus loved you so much, He gave His life and died so that you might live and have His life. He took your death so that you could have His life on the inside of you. And so if that applies to you, without anyone looking around, everybody in an attitude of prayer, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if you lift your hand up high, I want to pray with you and introduce you to the one who changed my life some 30 years ago and gave me new life and turn my life around. If you'd have enough guts to say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I want the Spirit of God to come and dwell on the inside of me and give me life that I can help others with. If that's you, if you lift your hand up high, I want to pray with you and introduce you to Jesus. Anybody at all, you'll have enough courage to just say, I'm going to lift my hand and make Jesus my Lord. Anybody? Praise God. I see one hand. Anybody else? You'd have enough courage to say, I want to make Jesus. I see two. Anybody else? You want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today. Hallelujah. Now, I know this next request is difficult, but I'm going to ask these two fellas, would you come up and let me pray with you? I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you, lead you in prayer, if you don't mind. Just going to lead you in a prayer and give you some things that might help you. Amen. It's Dave, right? Nice to meet you again, Dave. Amen. Glad you came. Thanks for coming. What's your first name?
Steve.
Steve. I'm just going to turn this off for me. I'm going to just pray this prayer together. God in heaven, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ
died for my sins.
I confess Jesus as my Lord today.
I ask Him
to be my Lord. I turn from sin. And I turn to You, Lord.
I believe
that not only did You die, but You rose again. And You're alive. And I ask You to give me life. The life of God.
I thank you
that Jesus is my Lord.
This day forward,
I'm forgiven from my sin. And now I call You Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I just want to have one guy take you and pray with you personally and write down your name so I can give you a call. So that'd be all right. Brother Tom, would you come? He's just going to take you to a prayer room. Okay. Tom, would you just take these guys to the prayer room and give them the material and stuff? Thanks a lot, guys. All right. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You know, that's the first experience of the Holy Spirit, is being born of the Spirit by accepting Christ. Amen. But there is another experience, being baptized in the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that results in one thing anyway, and that is the evidence of speaking in a spiritual language, as the Bible talks about that repeatedly in the book of Acts and 1 Corinthians. And that is an experience for every believer. If you're already born of the Spirit, there's another experience of the Holy Spirit called the baptism of the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, if that's something that you'd like to receive, and you believe that you will when we pray, then I'd like to invite you to come and let's pray and let's get people filled with the Holy Spirit today. If that's you, just come on down and let's just get you filled with the Holy Spirit and receive that spiritual language and just receive a sort of a spiritual refreshing by the Spirit of God. Anybody at all? I know I didn't teach on that specifically, but it's important, and we want to pray and give that opportunity if people would like that today. Anybody at all? Like to be filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit. All right, praise God. Well, we'll be teaching on it more. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Amen. And not only that, but if you would like to know more, let me know and I'll let you know more. I'll talk to you about it in more detail, more individually if you'd like. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, I've got the life of God. His life is in me. I'm God's garden. I'm God's temple. And out of me flows rivers, a river of increase, a river of power, a river of boldness, a river of fruitfulness comes forth from me because of the life of God. Use me, Father, to bring life to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. God's good. Amen. Well, we love you and appreciate you. If you can, stay for fellowship. And I'm going to just ask Pastor Brent to close the service in prayer. And just know again that we love you. Remember things that are going on. Check the announcements. And if you'd like to be water baptized on August 31st, get a set of notes on that and talk to me about that. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Amen. In Jesus' name.